that you'll find in your pew there, the Brown Pew Bible. Turn back to the Old Testament lesson for this Palm Sunday. It's found at, again, at Isaiah chapter 50. We'll be looking at verses 4 through 9. We all know that Palm Sunday begins the final days of Jesus' journey to the cross. And as you know, this Sunday is also referred to as Passion Sunday, just for that very reason, for the destination that Christ is being led to. What starts triumphantly for Jesus at the beginning of the week, that triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we love to reenact every Palm Sunday here at Edgebrook, culminates at the end of the week with his dead body being taken down from the cross. Throughout his 3 years of public ministry, Jesus has been moving toward the cross. And though Jesus was sinless and, of course, did not deserve it, there was a grand cosmic reason for his death. The scriptures are very clear throughout the scriptures, but capitalized very well in a couple of key texts, that Jesus came as a ransom, as a payment for the sins of everyone, so that everyone would have the opportunity to be forgiven of their sins and restored to a right relationship with God, their Creator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, Paul summarizes this great gospel truth with these words: "For there is one God and one mediator between God and humankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom, as a payment for all people." And on the very words of Jesus, on the very lips rather of Jesus himself, we hear these words in Matthew's gospel, the 20th chapter: "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So on this day, on this Palm Passion Sunday, we especially remember Jesus as God's humble servant, who gave his life, as Christ himself said, as a ransom for many. It's little wonder, then, that Christians have identified Jesus as the one referred to in these prophecies of Isaiah that talk about the servant of the Lord. And this text this morning is one of three servant songs that you find in Isaiah's prophecies. Quickly, as we heard the text being read, our mind's eye is drawn to verse 6. And we're reminded of the indignities suffered by the servant of the Lord. In the words, "I offered my back to those who beat me. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting." We remember, of course, this is exactly what Jesus experienced as part of his passion. But I think if we only focus on the suffering of the servant that we see here and that is played out in more detail in that servant song that begins in Isaiah 52, if we only focus on the suffering, we miss an important quality about this text this morning. There was a refrain that Isaiah repeats four times in verses 4, 5, 7, and 9. We hear in those verses the servant of the Lord extolling the sovereign Lord. The sovereign Lord has taught the servant by, first of all, teaching him how to listen. The sovereign Lord has given the servant words that bring comfort and healing to the weary. The sovereign Lord helps the servant, filling him with courage to fulfill his mission, his calling. You read about that in verse 7 of the text. And the servant finally is confident that it will be indeed the sovereign Lord who will vindicate him, so that no accuser will be able in the end to condemn him. That's where our text ends, in verses 8 and 9. This is what the sovereign Lord does for the servant. And this is what God the Father did for his son, Jesus. The sovereign Lord taught the man Christ Jesus his word. God gave his son words that would comfort and bring healing to a hurting and a hopeless people. God gave Jesus strength to fulfill his mission. And when the entire world thought of him as a failure and a disgrace, he vindicated him by raising him back to life on that Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter Sunday morning. But today, I don't want us to focus solely on Jesus as the lone servant of the Lord. Now, certainly, Jesus is the preeminent servant of the Lord, referred to here and in the other three servant psalms, songs. You'll find those in Isaiah 42, 49, and the one I referenced earlier, Isaiah 52. And without question, Jesus is the only servant of the Lord who gave his life as a ransom for the sins of the entire world. But hear me this morning, you followers of Jesus, this text is not just about Jesus. It's about us as well. For as the sovereign Lord did for his son Jesus, he does for us as Christ's followers. We too are called. And we too, by the sovereign Lord, the same sovereign Lord that was Jesus' Father, we are equipped to share a word with the weary and the brokenhearted. We carry forth in our lives, as we follow the preeminent servant of God, that ministry of servanthood to the world. And we do it the same way Jesus did. Just as Christ began, first by listening. Listening to God's word. Being instructed by his word. But also listening to the heartaches and the pain of others. We carry forth the ministry of servanthood as we listen to the Holy Spirit and bring the pain of others and the Word of God together in our lives. You know, I found it to be true that so often, you know, we struggle with what to say when someone comes to us with whatever burden they are carrying or whatever hurt they have in their lives. It's at those times we do well to remember that what God calls us to, first of all, is to listen. To not be caught up in so rapidly as to, well, what's the right thing I can say that's going to make it all better, but simply to listen to the hurt and the pain that they bear. A helpful question as someone begins to share what's on their heart and the burden they're carrying is simply to say to them, can you tell me more? And maybe while you're listening, just breathe a prayer that the Holy Spirit will help you truly hear them and perhaps have a word to share when they're done. Oftentimes I've found that the simple response of, I'm just so sorry, is all that's needed. And sometimes when words don't come, but when people know you have truly listened to their pain and their hurt, your silent presence is often the best gift you can give them. Jesus, as the preeminent servant of the sovereign Lord, learned first by listening. And the same sovereign Lord who instructed his son Jesus instructs and will give us place and presence and opportunity and yes, even words to sustain the weary. Now, I don't think any of us, secondly, will suffer the indignities and the pain that our Lord Jesus endured before and during his crucifixion. Yet we too are called, as followers of the preeminent servant of the Lord, to endure suffering. We are called to demonstrate how God's love comes alongside of those who suffer. So whenever we walk with those who are in pain, whenever we take a stand against injustice or prejudice or racism, whenever we sacrifice our standing or our status to bear witness to the love of God in Christ Jesus the Lord, and whenever in taking those stands we experience personal injustice or persecution, and turn the other cheek and not hide our face from mocking and ridicule for the cause of Christ, this word tells us that the sovereign Lord will help us. He will give us strength. The sovereign Lord will enable us to bear witness as his servants in the world to his love and his grace. And ultimately, this word declares that the sovereign Lord will vindicate us. Now, God's Son, the Lord Jesus, he's the preeminent servant of the Lord, but we, as his followers, are also his servants. And the same help given to Christ, the same power given to the Lord to fulfill his mission, the same assurance necessary that steeled Christ's resolve and emboldened him to endure all the suffering and all the pain that the cross required, that same power is given to us by the sovereign Lord. I think Paul, he may have even had this text in mind, I don't know, but he captured the truth of it when he wrote in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Hear the echo of the vindicating love of God? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is always interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. By the grace and the love and the power of the sovereign Lord. This is the week we remember better than any week throughout the year that for his entire life, Jesus has been moving toward the cross. In fact, that was the title, right, of the Lenten devotional that you've been reading, Moving Toward the Cross. It reminds us there's no other way we can go if we are going to follow Jesus. I didn't notice it until Patty pointed it out to me this week. Patty Shepherd, our office administrator, told me about the group that decorated this corner of our sanctuary. I don't know if you've noticed it, but amidst the burlap that sort of represents the ground, there is this separate, different type of cloth that is the path to the cross. And it's a path that goes up, representing the way of the cross is not easy. It's hard. It's a struggle. We're called to suffer. But the same sovereign Lord who enabled Jesus to go to the cross will empower you. The same sovereign Lord that enabled Jesus to make his way up to the cross, carrying his cross, will empower us to take up our cross and to follow him daily. For as Paul has declared, Nothing, nothing will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Please pray with me.